We all put people into categories, I think, such as good and bad, which is seen in our society so readily. People, of course, who obey the law are good, the rest are bad. And there's often a problem that we face when we believe people are good, and then we find out some sort of secret that they have, and suddenly we can't keep them in the good category, we've got to put them in, well, the bad category. There's an old popular entertainer from Australia and England who people have loved for decades facing court, and who at this moment might fit into that very situation. We have so many categories. We have poor and rich, the haves, the have-nots, the educated, uneducated, those who live in the western suburbs, those who live in the city. You can be fat and skinny, you can even be skinny and fat. You can be ethnic or not. Of course, ethnic is anyone that's other than you, isn't it? Everyone else is ethnic. We're not. You can be smart, you can be dumb, you can be short, tall, able, disabled, Asian, African, Islander, European, Aussie. There are so many ways that we see people and we categorise people. But we need to take care that our society and culture, care that doesn't shape our thinking into a worldly point of view. And that's why we come to the scriptures every Sunday, to have our minds reshaped. The Bible, God's word to us, shapes our minds. It is to shape our desires. It is to shape our ambitions. It is to shape our passions. And that's why we allow the word of God to shape our thinking. And the way we do that is we read it, we meditate upon it, we try to understand it. We ask God's Spirit may work within our hearts and our minds. And there's a word that we use for this. Repentance. It's not enough to repent once when you said that prayer, maybe when you were 16. Think, I've got through the narrow way, now I can just live any way I want. Repentance is a way of life for any disciple of Jesus. You are called to repent every day. And that's where we are called to rethink, to change our defective thinking and to see it correctly by agreeing with God. We are to agree with God. When we agree with God, we are repenting. And that is what we see Paul doing in the letter, to the Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthians. My prayer is for today that you might be open to allowing God to show you where your thinking is defective, and to repent, to think again, to see things the way God sees things, to have your mind shaped by God himself. Just prior to the passage about to read, Paul has laid out the gospel message to the Corinthians. He talks about how Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And then we read this in 2 Corinthians 5:16, which says, Paul saying, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, in a worldly type of way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow worker, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Paul wants to change the way we see people. The opposite to the worldly point of view, of course, is to see things as God sees them. And Paul says, I want you to see things as God sees things. The Bible has essentially two categories of people, those in Christ and those who are not in Christ. Those in Christ have felt the compelling love of Christ upon their lives. They are convinced that Christ died for them, and they are convinced that they now live for Christ. God sees them. God has made them a new creation. Do you remember the first creation in Genesis? Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. They were to be God's representatives here on earth. They were to care for the earth. They were to look after the earth. And we know that as we read through Genesis 2 and 3 that they came to the point of sin, where they sinned. They broke their relationship with God. The image of God that was in them is still there, but it's marred, it's broken, it's warped in us all. The image of God has been warped, has been broken. They are not the people we were once created to be. Adam and Eve reflected the image of God to all creation, but for us, we have that image broken, it's hidden, it's defective. In every human being today, we can see the damaged image of God. Human beings are capable of love, of compassion, of grace, forgiveness, because they have the image of God in them. We know it's limited. We all have our limits to our love, don't we? We don't like to admit that. We all have our limits to our charity. We all have our limits. But that's not how it was meant to be. But those in Christ, for those in Christ, those who have come to Christ, those who are in the, as Paul puts it, the second Adam, through the sacrifice of Jesus, God has made them a new creation. The image of God has been restored in the person who is in Christ. It's been restored. So when we look at each other, we need to recognise something. The image of God is restored in that person. And I think because of that, we need to come to each other with some reverence, some fear, because you know what? You are a child of God, with the image of God, the Spirit of God in you. Now, that affects how I treat you. I can't treat you badly, because you are a person who bears the image of God, the restored image of God, not the broken one. You have been given the Spirit of God, which gives you life, which makes you a new creation. We need to look upon those who God loves, who God has restored, who God has brought into Christ with great affection, and let me suggest, even awe. God has done something in you which we need to appreciate greatly. And it doesn't matter if it's your husband or your wife or your sister or your brother or your son or your daughter or a friend. It doesn't matter how close you are to them or how close you are not to them. You're addressing a person who bears the restored image of God. And Paul says in verse 18, you on the screen, that all this has come from God. It's not because we are better than anyone else. Last Tuesday, JJ and I went down to the footy in the park, and I do appreciate those who've been praying for it. We met with some of the local kids, and there was a group of low category prisoners there from the local jail who came and played football in the field. One guy we spoke with, he is 35, he's been in and out of jail since he was 18, and he spoke, he said he had some type of faith, and so we could reassure him there that even though the world might consider him bad, he's a prisoner, that when God looks at us in our natural state, There is no difference between his heart and my heart. God sees our heart equally. And when he comes into Christ, it's not because of anything he's done. It's not anything because I've done. Verse 18 says it's what God has done in us. And that's what verse 19 says. Talks about God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. If God counted his sins against you, you would have no chance of being reconciled to God. You couldn't come anywhere near him. You would rightfully deserve God's eternal punishment for what you have done. You would deserve that. God can give you that punishment, and everyone would say, yes, if we saw God's way, yes, that is right. But here it talks about God doesn't count our sins against us. He counts it against Jesus on the cross. He sees my sins, and he sees it's on Jesus on the cross. And we are reconciled with God. You understand reconciled? We now in a relationship with God. We are a new creation. Go back to Genesis and think about what the old creation, how it broke. We now are a new creation. We have the image of God restored in us. We are image bearers reflecting to this world who God is. I think, just let me say it again. We reflect to the world who God is. Does that scare you? Think about last week about it. Think about your last week. Does that concern you that you are the reflection of God into our world because we bear his image? Paul says we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Take that in for a moment. It's as though God was making his appeal to us, through us. And think of the message that we have. The message is we can come back to God. We can hold that as a secret, can't we? We can not tell anyone. But what God says here is we are to be ambassadors. We are to proclaim this message out. We are to make it known. Each and every way, it comes back to you and me. Because we are the new creation, we bear the image of God, we are to reflect God in this world. Those who bear the image of God are to make known this message. We are to make it known in our lives, we are to make it known in our words and actions. People are to see the image of God in us. This also shows us how we are to see those who are not in Christ. Those who are not in Christ, who have not committed themselves to being disciples of Jesus, they are not evil, they are not rich, they are not poor, they are not educated, not fat or skinny. Let's not use those categories. It's not if they're able or disabled or Asian or African or Aussie. Let's not use those categories. God sees them as people who are not in Christ, who need to be reconciled with him. That's how God sees them. These are people who need to be reconciled with me. There's a message that needs to go out that these people can be reconciled with God. God will not hold your sins against you. So come to God. The invitation is out. And the good news is God has a person for nearly everyone, for everyone in this world, this message to go out. And the good news is it's probably you. Okay, you are the only one who can reach all the people in your networks and in your friendships and in your street. God has set aside a person to make this message known, and it's you. How's it going? Over the last few weeks, we've been trying to think about who we are and thinking about what we had to do. Quite a few weeks now, Bob spoke about being hope bearers as we move towards maturity. We have to be name bearers. We bear the name of God. We have to experience love, the love of God. We are spirit bearers. We are being a witness. Today we're talking about being image bearers, bringing reconciliation. Do you see yourself as a bearer of hope? Do you see yourself as a bearer of the name, God's name? Do you see yourself as a bearer of the Spirit or a bearer of God's image? If you don't, that's why we need the Scriptures to shape our thinking. Because this is who we are. What about what we are to do? Are you moving towards maturity? We just started a year. Think about last year. Have you seen growth in your life? But other people say they've seen growth in your life. What about experiencing the love of God? Is it richer for you today than it was 12 months ago? The love of God. What about being a witness or bringing reconciliation? Because it's clear from the Scriptures, that's what we are called to do. If not, if you don't see this, what needs to change? Should I say, who needs to change? Well, fortunately, we are repenting, aren't we, every day of our life. We're trying to think into these things before the year starts proper so that we might be more effective for God in 2014. And we may have to come back to that ancient prayer of Psalm 51. That ancient prayer which is certainly my prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And make me willing to obey. I love that. God, would you make me willing to obey? Leads us to the communion table, doesn't it? Because here we have the place of repentance. The reason we can repent is because of Jesus' sacrifice. So let's just pray before we break the bread.